Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Jesus reigns in this place. This isn't a high school auditorium. This is a sanctuary for the Lord. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Man, I love that song. It's an anointing on it. It's Jason Upton, if you're not familiar with him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, right? I know the Spirit of the Lord is here this morning because he dwells, he abides, he lives in the heart of every one of us who have given our hearts to him. You can go to church all your life and never give your heart to the Lord. And the Bible says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, we believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. That's Romans chapter 10. Bible also says in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. That's the indwelling presence of God in the person of Holy Spirit that abides, that dwells, that lives in us. If we belong to him. Make sure of that, okay? Because what we're talking about is our eternity, and you don't want to play around with your eternity. If you're not sure about any of that, let's talk before you leave here, okay? But the Spirit of the Lord is definitely here this morning, as we just sang. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right? That's our theme this weekend, Independence Day, 4th of July, freedom. And I wonder, did anybody get set free just now from anything hindering you? Because sometimes the power of God is just released during worship. People get healed. People get delivered from stuff that's held them in bondage. I mean, boom, it just happens. You didn't need to have anyone lay hands on you. You didn't need to come up here and get prayed for. Boom, right where you are, it just happens. And the heaviness is lifted and that chain is broken. And you know you're set free, and you know it because you can breathe again. I love when that happens. You know, I hope more of it happens here. And if anything like that happens to you anytime, not just this morning, but anytime, share it with us, please. Because that builds faith. That builds my faith. That encourages the body. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, what? There's freedom. Praise God, there's freedom. And like I said, I know there's freedom here because the Spirit of the Lord is here. We know when Thanksgiving Day rolls around in November, usually the Sunday before Thanksgiving Day, the theme of our sermon usually has something to do with being thankful, being grateful. And tomorrow being the 4th of July, today's message is kind of like a combination of Thanksgiving and 4th of July, thankful for our freedom in this nation while we still have freedoms, right? And we know that on the first Sunday in November, we always dedicate the entire service to praying for the persecuted church around the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are living and worshiping Jesus in the top 10 most restricted nations in the world when it comes to religious freedom. North Korea had been faithfully number one for 19 years, but Afghanistan is now the worst nation in the world to live if you're a Christian. North Korea is a close second, but that's the first change that's happened in almost 20 years. But these brave souls who are living in these nations are believers, just like us, share the same faith in Jesus that we do, but unfortunately we know they don't share the same freedom to openly express their faith like we do. There's a big difference between being a Christian in East Tennessee and being a Christian in East Afghanistan. I mean, just look how much freedom we have that we take for granted. And before COVID hit 2 years ago, we could set up a prayer tent on Halloween night, downtown Cleveland, on the courthouse square, right in the center of town. And we weren't hiding who we were. It said Joy Christian Fellowship Prayer Tent. And we didn't have to be afraid that somebody was going to beat us or shoot us or burn our tent down and take all our Kit Kat bars. We didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. We can put signs up in front of a public high school out on the road to let everybody know who we are. Anybody going by, we're not hiding. And we can freely worship Jesus on this campus. And boy, I got to tell you, the Lord has given us such favor with the principal. For three principals. We've been here 15 years. And the new principal, she's thankful we're here. So keep this place in your prayers. There's a godly influence here. And, you know, it's like those mountaintops. The one at the top influences the ones underneath. So she's a godly woman. She doesn't do everything right. She makes mistakes too. But she apologized to me that we had to move around last week. You know, she says, sorry for all the confusion. Thanks for being patient with us. So what am I going to do? Say, yeah, don't do that again. We'll have to look for a new place to meet if that ever happens. So, but three different principles, and we're still here. So it's God's favors on this place. See, we couldn't do this in North Korea. We couldn't do this in Syria. We couldn't do this in Pakistan. Shoot, we can't even do this in New Jersey. It's true. So let's never take the freedom we have living in East Tennessee for granted. This is a wonderful area. All right, the title of this morning's message is, Do You Want to Be Free? We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, Luke chapter 4, Galatians 5, and Philippians 4. So Lord, as we go into your word, lead us, guide us, direct us, open your word up to us, teach us on this weekend that we celebrate independence and freedom. Teach us about real freedom, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Do you want to be free? Sounds like a silly question. What do you mean, do I want to be free? Of course I want to be free. I am free. What are you talking about? Do I want to be free? But to ask someone, do you want to be free? It's like asking them, do you want your life to change? Or do you like it just the way it is? Is your life so perfect that you don't want anything to change? Or do you want your life to change? Do you really want to be free? You know, Jesus asked a similar question to a man who had been crippled for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. 38 years. It's not on the screen, but it's in John chapter 5. And Jesus walks up to this guy and he asks him, do you want to get well? I mean, that sounds like a silly question, but we know Jesus doesn't ask silly questions. But this crippled guy had been waiting for years and years and years to get into that pool of Bethesda for healing. He'd been waiting a long, long time, and the belief was that at certain times an angel of the Lord would stir up the water, and whoever got into the water while it was stirred up would be healed. There might be some natural springs under that ground there that's causing it, but that's the belief, that the angel came, and when that water was stirred up, man, get in the water, and whatever was ailing you, you got healed from. There's a wonderful scene of that in The Chosen. If you've watched The Chosen series, that Pool of Bethesda scene is wonderful. Do you want to get well? Sounds like a simple yes or no question. You know, this crippled man, he wasn't looking for Jesus. He wasn't asking Jesus to heal him. He didn't even know who Jesus was. Do you want to get well? Do you want your life to change? And remember, whenever Jesus asks a question, it's never because he's lacking information. He asks questions to reveal what's going on in our hearts, right? And he never asks silly questions. So, but he asks this guy, do you want to get well? And he says, I can't. I can't, sir. It's not a yes, of course I want to get well, or no, don't bother me. It's I can't, sir. Nobody will help me get in the pool. See, blaming others. Do we ever do that? Do we ever blame others when things don't go the way we're wanting? And I'm sure the guy wanted to get well. And Jesus just tells the guy, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. The crippled man might be thinking, well, wait a minute, sir, you don't understand my situation here. And I wonder if we ever make the mistake of thinking Jesus doesn't understand our situation. Of course he does. But we wonder, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And the Bible says, instantly, a man was healed. Instantly. After 38 years of being an invalid, the guy gets up. No rehab, no intense physical therapy. Just like the guy at the temple begging for money when Peter and John showed up for afternoon prayer. And they tell the guy, silver or gold, I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And that guy got up and walked. And they said he had never walked. He was crippled from birth, and he was 40 years old, at least 40. No rehab, no physical therapy. Instantly, after those muscles didn't work for 38 years, this guy at the pool, he's not only standing, he's walking. He got his freedom, right? He got a miracle. Later on, Jesus sees the same guy at the temple, and maybe he went there to praise God for his healing. Maybe he went to worship because he was set free from this infirmity he had carried for 38 years. But when you read the scriptures, I don't think that's what he was doing, because when Jesus sees this fella at the temple, he tells him, hey, now that you're well, stop sinning. Now, if he was worshiping God, Jesus wouldn't say, stop sinning. Now that you're well, stop sinning. Before something worse may happen to you. Stop sinning. I wonder what the guy was doing. Maybe he was begging money. Maybe he was pretending he was still an invalid. Who knows? But Jesus knew. He told the guy, now that you're well, stop sinning. This man was obviously excited to be physically healed, but he needed an even bigger miracle. He needed to be spiritually healed. He needed spiritual freedom. He needed his sins forgiven. That's the greatest gift God could give us. And when Jesus asked the man, do you want to get well? It was like asking him, do you really want your life to change? Because if you get well, you won't be able to just lay around the pool of Bethesda all the time. You'll have to do something. You'll have to be productive, right, Jeff? The guy's going to have to do something now because he's well. You'll have to be responsible. Do you want that? You really want to get well? Because that's what you're going to have to do. And today, Jesus may be asking us a slightly different question. As we're preparing to celebrate our independence and celebrate our freedom as a nation tomorrow, maybe Jesus is asking us here at Joy this morning, do you want to be free? Do you really want to be set free? So, Lord, I just pray right now, open your word to us, open our hearts up to us. Lord, you know what we're dealing with. And maybe we pushed it down and gotten so used to it, we just figure it's part of life. But Lord, if there's something you want to set us free from, this is the day. We're here to get set free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we know you're here. All right, let's go to scriptures. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul, he's writing about God, our Father. And he writes, for he, meaning God, he has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, that's obviously good old Satan, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. That reminds me of an old Charlie Hall song. Some of you know who Charlie Hall is, where he says, into marvelous light I'm running. Right? Remember that song? Out of darkness, out of shame. For he has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen to this part. God has purchased, that's past tense, it's already happened. He has purchased our freedom with his blood and forgiven how many of our sins? Some of them, most of them? No, he's forgiven all of our sins, every one of them, past, present, future. He purchased our freedom. We've been bought for a price, very, very expensive price. So we're not our own. We belong to him, right? God has already purchased our freedom. What a wonderful word that is, freedom. When you think of that word freedom, what do you think of? Because we all value freedom, don't we? I hope so. We should. And one of the most encouraging and reoccurring themes in the New Testament is that Christians are free in Christ. And this was especially good news to the new Christians who were first receiving this teaching from the apostles, and for all the non-Jews, the Gentiles, who also believe that Christ is the Messiah. This freedom that the apostles taught about wasn't a political freedom from Roman rule. It was a spiritual freedom. They spoke of an inner freedom. It gives us peace in here, no matter what's going on around us. It's an inner freedom that allows us to live above our present circumstances, whatever they may be, however hard they may be. That should be good news to all of us, because some of us may feel trapped at times. Have you ever felt trapped? Trapped in the bondage of addiction or depression or anxiety or an abusive relationship, or maybe we're plagued by anger issues or unbelief or apathy or doubt or laziness or prejudice or fear. A lot of people living with a lot of fear these days. Maybe it's some other oppressive situation or destructive controlling habit. You name it. It's a long list. And Jesus came to set us free from every one of them, didn't he? From all of it. He came to set the captives free. Praise God. So let's look what Jesus tells us in Luke's gospel in chapter 4 of Luke, verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Listen to this. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." See, Jesus secured our freedom from all that junk in our lives on a cross. He already paid the price. But a lot of us aren't walking in the freedom and the victory that he paid dearly for us to enjoy. Why would we go back to old habits? Why would we make poor choices again and again after Jesus set us free from all that stuff? That doesn't make sense. In case you haven't noticed, the world we're living in is not a godly world. That's why it's incredibly necessary, absolutely necessary for us to experience and possess the freedom that Christ offers every one of us so that we can still live in this corrupt world, yet not be of this world. I hope that makes sense. It's so we don't get sucked into the ways of the world and still think we're okay. The encouraging word this morning is that you can be free if you're not. Not because I said it, but because Jesus said it, and he already paid for our freedom. Thank you, Jesus. We can't set ourselves free from the stuff that's holding us back. The only thing that can really set us free is the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. And he, and only he, is our Redeemer. The Redeemer is someone who pays the required price to secure the release and freedom for a prisoner or a slave. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. He paid the price. Not the government. Jesus. Jesus redeemed us. The New Testament centers our redemption in Christ. He purchased the church with his blood. It's not on the screen, but listen to this. It's from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. He says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made us overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." There it is. He bought it, the church, with his own blood. And good shepherds are supposed to take care of the sheep. They're supposed to take good care of the sheep. Jesus said he was the good shepherd, which makes us understand that not all shepherds are good, right? Why would he say, "I'm the good shepherd"? Instead of saying, "I'm the shepherd, I'm the good shepherd." So, people who are in bondage to some type of sin, they just can't free themselves. Spiritual prisoners can't free themselves by trying harder. So many people have habits and different things, and they try harder to give it up. And man, someone has to come and pay the price, or pay the ransom, or pay the bail bond to redeem and release those who are in captivity or under the control of other habits and stuff. Jesus himself said he came to give his life as a ransom. There it is. The Apostle Paul wrote, "You are not your own. You were bought for a price." We've been rescued. We've been set free. Hallelujah for that. We've been set free from bondage through the self-sacrificing act of Jesus. That's the good news. That's the gospel. He loves us that much. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians in Galatians 5, verse 1. He said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Again, that's past tense. He's already done it. He's already set us free. Then he says, "Stand firm then, And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I mean, Paul says a lot in that one verse, but what really stood out to me is that little two-word phrase, stand firm. Look at that verse again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Why go through all that junk again? The people had been burdened by a yoke of spiritual slavery and legalism before they came to an understanding of Christ setting them free. And Paul is saying, hey, you've been set free. Don't go back to that old yoke of slavery again. You hear? That's legalism. Don't go back. You're free now. You can't keep all those man-made rules and regulations anyway. But did you know what will keep them from going back to their slavery, to the law, and to sin? And do you know what will keep you and me from doing the same thing? If we stand firm. That's the key. If we will stand firm. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just a good idea. It's a command. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Not just burdened, but burdened again. Christ died to set us free from sin and a whole long list of rules and laws and regulations that were man-made. He came to set us free from all that, but not free to do whatever we feel like doing. Because that would just lead us back into slavery to our own selfish desires. Say, well, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. Yeah, but instead of serving God and serving others, we could fall into that trap of just serving ourselves. Just doing stuff that makes us happy, pleases us. But thanks to Christ, we're now free and we're able to do what we were unable to do before Christ, to live for Him and to live for others, not just for ourselves. Because we're basically selfish by nature, right? This world would be a whole lot better if people just did things the way I wanted them to, right? Boy, I tell you. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, the difference between victory and defeat has a lot to do with whether we're going to stand firm or not. Remember the story in Exodus of Moses and the Israelites backed up against the Red Sea, nowhere to go. Here come the Egyptian army closing in on them. Fear gripped their hearts. And Moses commands them, don't be afraid, stand firm. Sure, that was a whole lot easier said than done when you're standing there. There's no place to go, and here comes this army ready to wipe you out. He said, stand firm, and you will, not you might, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And I thought, who knows how many times we've been that close to victory or a breakthrough, but we didn't stand firm, and we lost out. Let's look at a few other scriptures about us standing firm in our freedom. This one's not on the screen, but listen to this one. I know some of you know it. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians and to us, chapter 6, verse 13, says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Some Bibles say the full armor of God. Not just part of it, all of it, right? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to understand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. You know, we ought to start every day. I mean to do that, and I don't always do it, but to start the day by putting on the full armor of God before we ever get out of bed. I got to go back to practicing that. Because the evil days are here. We're living in them. Just look around at the world. So we need to put on that whole armor of God so that we can stand firm. So we don't give in, so we don't give up. We can't. We can't. We need to persevere. We need to keep pressing in, and we need to keep standing firm. Look what Paul writes to the Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Stand firm in the Lord. Press in. Press on. Don't give in. Don't give up so easily. Be encouraged by this word today, folks, because God wants every one of us to stand firm in the Lord today and every day. not to stand firm in our self-centeredness, not to stand firm in our own strength, in our stubbornness, our hard-headedness, but to stand firm in the Lord. Here's a couple more to look at. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be on your guard, or be alert. Yeah. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Don't let fear get the best of you. Don't give up. Stand firm in the faith. One more from the prophet Isaiah, not on the screen. Listen to this one. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. He tells us, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Wow. That's a warning for all of us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. If we do not stand firm in our faith, we will not stand at all. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Remember, past tense. He's not going to set us free. He's already done it. We're the ones who are still living like prisoners. He's opened the door wide, but it's like we're still sitting in our prison cell. And he says, you're free. Even though our ransom, our bail, our debt has already been stamped, paid in full, some of us are still holding on to old hurt, old anger, old bitterness, old wounds in our heart. Don't keep trying to breathe life back into something that God has declared dead. Don't try to reopen a door that God has shut when he's opened a new door for you. And you say, well, I haven't seen that open door. They're all shut. Well, all I can say is hang in there and believe and keep faith and keep praying. Don't keep living in the past. It's not healthy. God is saying, hey, I'm not back there anymore. I'm up here now. You coming? Paid in full. It's a done deal. We win. We're more than conquerors, the Bible tells us. Oh, but the battle still rages, doesn't it? Whew, man, does it. We all know that. But this verse in Galatians 5, it's such a refreshing reminder, and it's a clear statement of Christ's will for our lives. It's for freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, we know a lot of people abuse that freedom. We know a lot of people trample on God's grace. We know a lot of people that want to rewrite the scriptures and redefine biblical principles. But why should we let what others are doing or not doing keep you and me from enjoying the freedom and the victory that we have in Christ? Sometimes we can get bogged down too much trying to figure out what is God's will for my life. So we need to focus on the clearer statements in the scriptures regarding his will for our lives. And right here's one of them. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But are we just as concerned about enjoying our freedom in Christ as we are about enjoying the pleasure that the world offers? To be honest, probably not. Probably don't think about it as much. But the command is clear. Stand firm. Stand firm then. Stand firm then in your freedom. And don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's God's will for us. Freedom. Uncompromising, God-given freedom. Christ died for it. Christ rose for it. Christ sent Holy Spirit for it to empower us. And his desire is for every one of us to embrace it and to live in victory, not defeat. But let's face it, it's hard to live in victory when you feel beat down, isn't it? Yeah. Let's remember, Jesus is our great liberator. He has liberated us from our slavery to sin. We've been forgiven. Let Holy Spirit rule your heart, not the wickedness of the world. Let Jesus be your master, not sin. We have the victory if we're in Christ. We have the freedom if we're in Christ. Jesus met the demands of the law for us. He died for our disobedience. Right? The punishment. The punishment that Travis had brought you and me, peace was upon him, not us. We deserved that punishment, but he took it for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Wow, think about that. Jesus, the only one who knew no sin, he became a curse for us, for you and for me. That would be a good time to say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, man, thank you, Jesus. He became a curse for us. And why don't people want to obey him? Jesus has taken a heavy yoke of slavery off our shoulders that had us weighed down. And he set us free so that we could stand upright, so that we could stand firm in the Lord, so we could represent him here well as his ambassadors. See a lot of Christians walking around with their head down. And why, for a non-believer that looks at that and says, what is appealing about that life? You know, my prayer is always that the love of God is the magnet that would draw people here. I don't know how well it's working, but that's my prayer, to experience his love first. He'll work on the other stuff later, but I see too many people just walking around. And I've heard people give a testimony. And the day I got saved was the happiest day of my life. Praise Jesus. I'm thinking, really? Are you that happy? You don't sound happy. Where's the joy? I know life's hard. But we've got something in here that's eternal that should help us rise above the worries and the doubts and the stuff that's going on all around us. Christ has already done all the heavy lifting. He took that heavy yoke of slavery off of us. He's done all the dirty work for us, right? He suffered and died a brutal death on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven for all of our sins. If we'll come to him, if we'll confess, if we'll repent, if we'll ask him to forgive us and come and live in our hearts and make us his, Christ in us, and us in Christ. If anyone here hasn't done that yet, I just want to ask you, why not? I mean, seriously, what else has to happen? But I would like to know. Don't be afraid to talk to me about it if you're not sure. Because he's already paid for our tickets to eternal life with him. You don't want to miss that train, believe me. But if you're not sure, let's talk. Let me say this one more time in case you missed it the first five times. Christ has set us free. So we must stand firm in our freedom, right? It doesn't mean we can do whatever our pretty little hearts desire. It means we're free from the slavery and the bondage to sin. We're free to live for Christ. We're free to serve, to bless others instead of just serving ourselves and believing somehow we deserve it. It means we're free to help build his kingdom here. Let's walk in that kind of freedom, okay? I mean, we're free as Americans. We have a lot of freedom, but let's walk in this kind of freedom. All right. Let's pray. Again, Bobby and I hope you have a very blessed, safe, and happy 4th of July. Come by and see Scott and me Wednesday if you're out and about from 11 to 1, Charleston by the Bird's Nest. Pray for us to have divine encounters, okay? I'm really praying for that. Everybody, the first time we met, we were up there, Lewis and Scott and me, Dean and Lisa, and everybody that stopped, we got to pray with everybody. Nobody turned us down. Second time, me, Lewis, and Scott prayed for more people. And I believe it's going to happen again this Wednesday. So pray for us to have divine encounters. Come back next week. Bring somebody with you. Stand firm in the faith. Okay? Stand firm in the faith. Please stand if you're able. We're going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement in your word that we need to stand firm. That's a command. It's not just a suggestion. It's, well, I don't feel like standing firm. No, you're telling us, stand firm in the faith. Especially the days we're living in now, we need to stand firm. We can't back down. We can't knuckle under. We can't just cave. We can't curl up in a ball and hope all the bad stuff stops happening. We got to stand firm. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the Lord. Help us, Lord. We're living in tough times. We don't want to get in arguments. We don't get in shouting matches. We don't point fingers. We don't want to tell people, you're wrong and I'm right. We want to speak truth. We don't want to compromise what we believe in. We don't want to just look the other way. But we want to speak truth with love, with compassion, with kindness. Give us a better way of doing that, Lord. And again, people are angry. People are mad. People are saying all kinds of stuff on social media. the news is only reporting half of what's going on, just what they want us to hear. We know there's a lot of other stuff happening. Give us wisdom. What is our response as the body of Christ, as believers, as children of God? What is our response to all this? We need your help. We're not smart enough to do it on our own, so we need you, Holy Spirit. Lead, guide, and direct us as we leave here. Whoever we encounter on the way, if you're going out to eat, leave a good tip. If you're going home, enjoy the rest of the afternoon. Be careful tomorrow. Give us a sensitivity when we encounter people who may or may not agree with what we believe, to speak your truth in love. Let them see Jesus, not us. Bless everyone here and the families and those that are normally here that couldn't make it today. We just want to thank you, Father, for the many blessings of life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.